Well, hello and welcome to the Smells Like Money podcast. Join me, Suzanne Chin Taylor, the doo-doo diva, as I interview guests who are making an impact on how we manage and operate systems for conveying and treating wastewater. As a veteran of the wastewater, trenchless, and civil infrastructure industry, each week I'll be bringing you industry know-how from industry pros who know how. Join me each week as I speak with representatives of organizations that are utilizing disruptive or new technologies and methods, and executives who are excited to share how to be successful and sustainable in our vital industry. So whether you want to learn about the latest trends in technology, in treatment or trenchless, gain tips on training and retaining great talent, or simply how to be more efficient, productive, or profitable, this podcast is for you. Ready? Let's dive right in. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Doo-Doo Divas Smells Like Money podcast. Today, we have an incredible show lined up for you with something that's going to be fun, exciting, and definitely different than I think anybody in this industry has ever seen before, and especially on this podcast. And we are actually going to be visiting with the creators of Mest Comics, Jay Kalagayan and Dylan Speak. Did I get that right?
That is right.
Correct.
And so Mest Comics, believe it or not, is a comic book series or graphic novels, as some purists like to refer to it, that actually the superheroes are sewer workers. Yes, you heard that right. One of our own. Yes, our own. We are the super, because as I've said many, many times, you guys out there who are in this field, you are my personal superheroes. But now two incredible creative artists have actually made you into superheroes and published a series of comic books about you. Isn't that cool? So for those of you who had the pleasure of attending the What Show this year in Indianapolis, you might have seen the booth featuring these comic books. And for those who didn't, Jay is going to bring some of the graphics up on the screen for us to see in a little bit, so that for those of you who missed it can actually see what we are talking about. But before we do that, Jay, I would really like you to kind of give us the background story about what brought this about and, you know, how did you come up with an idea? Let's do comic books on sewer workers. And what I really love is the main character is a girl. And an Asian girl at that, which I can really identify with. And so I wanted to talk about that. And then just so you as the audience knows, these are two people that are, you know, from outside of our field. But these are not things that they just made up fictitiously. Jay spent a tremendous amount of time doing research on this to have it as accurate as possible and real world. So he spent time interviewing and spending time with people from a local metropolitan sewer district. And I'm going to let him tell the story about that. So what came to life in the pages were based on real world experiences that were shared with him and Dylan in creating this series. And so with that, I'm going to shut up now and just let you tell this exciting story about Lilliput and Mest Comics.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us. We really appreciate that. So I've been collecting comic books since I was 9 years old.
Wow.
I used to go to the convenience store and saw the spinner rack of comics and just really saw a world of possibilities. And so for decades, I've been collecting comics and reading comics. And I think if anyone, any true fan of comic books, they've always had the idea of wanting to do a comic themselves. So I've always wanted to do that. And both of us are out of Cincinnati, and I was working for the Cincinnati Museum Center. And that's near the Mill Creek Treatment Plant for the Metropolitan Sewer District. So I ended up going, driving by it every day, and it just really piqued my curiosity. So I had a friend who worked for them. They got me on a tour of the treatment plant, and everything was just, inspiration was just clicking. And just the ideas of a sewer worker, the ideas of really just trying to capture the essential job that they're tasked with every day. We are dependent on this system. We wash our vegetables, we flush our toilets, and we don't know what happens after we flush. So that's kind of the beginning of the idea of it was just like we have a hashtag that we use a lot, hashtag follow the flush. So that's where really the kind of the spark happened and that idea.
Cool. So now, when you did the research with the sewer district beyond going on the tour, what did you do? I mean, did you meet with actual collection system workers? I take it that the city was pretty open to you. How did you get in the door to tell them, "Hey, I want to do this. Will you help me?"
I think that they didn't know what to do with me. They have some very dedicated people working there. They
Course.
were surprised that I wanted to do a tour. So I got in there and I worked with the Metropolitan Sewer District of Greater Cincinnati. They were really helpful. I interviewed a bunch of the different treatment plant workers. And then I crossed the river, SD1, Sanitation District 1. That was in Northern Kentucky, and I got to follow their trouble call crew, and I got to follow them for a day, do interviews, watch them use remotes to clear out some of the pipes. And I mean, it's just surprising to realize that hundreds of thousands or millions of people are dead are dependent on this very antiquated system. And these great workers are doing the best they can with the systems that they have, and just seeing how much they do with a system that really just needs upgrading.
Right. So, how did you come up with the character or decide who am I going to make the main, what are they called, the hero of the story?
So I have the privilege of being a parent. I have two daughters. And I think as a parent, you get the privilege of introducing them to the things you like, things you love, science fiction, novels, movies, cartoons, that kind of thing. And
Right.
they in turn reintroduce that back to you as you watch it with them. And
Right.
so maybe some of the casts are a little homogenized as far as race, or maybe they're not as gender equitable as you remember them. So I kind of discovered that. So I realized those things and kind of wanted to find other things for my daughters to consume, to watch, to read, but also I wanted to contribute to it. So I wanted to create a strong character that happens to be female, happens to be Asian. And so when I bring my daughters with me to the comic book stores, to the bookstores, they get to see someone who looks like them on the shelves.
Yeah, that's so very, very important, because one of the things that, started to get the wheels turning when I met Dylan at the trade show was, for everybody listening, we all know it, that we have an incredible labor shortage in wastewater treatment, in municipal collection system maintenance, in contractors that do the work for this type of, buried utility, sewer, water, lifts, all those things related to infrastructure. And we're having a very, very hard time encouraging young people to come into this field, or even those who maybe they're doing another job and they just wake up one day, hey, it happened to me, and say, you know what, this just isn't fun anymore. And, I just feel like I'm not making a difference, or I want to do something that makes a difference in the world. What can I do? Where can I go? Or, hey, I'm a junior in high school and I'm smart enough, but do I really want to be saddled with hundreds of thousands of dollars with college debt? Do I want to be living with my mom until I'm 35? It's like he's saying, no, it's like, but I want to make a good living and I want to be independent. And so careers in this field, we need to educate young people that you can make a great living wage. Yes, it's a hard job, but in some cases, it's not as dirty as you may think. Like Lilliput does a very dirty job, but there's lots of different jobs within this field that are not get climbing down into a manhole and doing the mucky work, but you're still doing important work for wastewater infrastructure, and it really needs to be looked at. So I thought to myself, wow, how could we use comics? Because kids love comics anyway. Let's start thinking of ways, and this is why I wanted to bring you on the show. Let's discuss this. What can we do with these books? One, I wanted to ask you, how many books do you have available in that series? You started with one, you know, that I can't believe how many you've got here. But how could cities, how could schools, how could contractors that are doing community outreach possibly use these books to help with this mission of let's get young people interested and let's create what you were saying? Your whole thing was following the flush, just simply creating the community awareness of what
Yes.
these folks do. Because that was something that Dylan said to me at the show, that people were like, wow, that's the whole thing. People don't understand what it is we do. It's out of sight, out of mind.
Yes.
And it should be, even though it's out of sight, it should be top of mind.
Dylan, what is it you say about civilization?
Yeah, I saw a thing on the history of toilets one time, and it was really fascinating because it said for a society, for a civilization to exist, they need the written word and plumbing. Because they said before the Romans figured it out, cities would get pretty big, then dysentery would break out, and then it would collapse. And so you couldn't, you know, even people realize you can't go to the bathroom in the cave. I mean, even at that point, they realized, you know, everybody was going to get sick. It was funny when Jay first approached me about illustrating it. I looked at a bunch of pictures of the old sewer system in London, you know, so those are all like brick and everything. So I kind of like went with that just because I thought it was visually, you know, important. But when we went and actually toured the sewage treatment plant in Cincinnati, I could not believe how clean it was. And like all the pipes were, I mean, there wasn't, it wasn't even really dusty. Like they were really, you know, and all the pipes were like, you know, really streamlined. And then it was all poured concrete, no bricks. And I was like, if I would have known this, it would have been so much easier to draw. But, you know, I think it adds to the aesthetic of it. And I think it's important to make it entertaining first. You know, and then, you know, we could always make it more, you know, literal or you know, didactic, like teaching. I think that just getting people to understand that there's a lot of things going on in the sewers is the most of, is, you know, just bringing awareness of it. But we could also, you know, glamorize that. We could make it look, you know, like be like, I almost never get dirty. You know, I mean, we could probably sell it however they want it to. I mean, I'm
Well,
from a
oh, sorry.
background of this, like that stuff, you know.
And I mean, like, from the interviews sprung a lot of the plot lines. So, like, sewer worms or filamentous bacteria. Admittedly, we have a science fiction embellishment on it, but for anyone to actually say, oh, that doesn't happen, they're going to actually need to Google. They're going to actually need to, like, find out themselves. I mean, because we built on top of a lot of the interviews that we've had with sewer workers and treatment workers and different crews. So, yeah.
Right. So, Jay, why don't you we share the screen for those of you who are just listening in? You might want to check out their website to see what Jay is going to be bringing up on the screen right now, as far as the pictures. But for those of you watching, he's going to describe these are some of the illustrations of the characters from the actual comic books. So, what are we looking at here, Jay?
So again, this is Lilliput. Lilliput is a sewer worker, and she's our tour guide to the weird, wet, wild world beneath our feet. And Dylan, do you want to talk about? We use a character model. Do you want to talk about the character model a little bit?
Yeah, there was this woman who worked at the convenience store up the street from my house, and when Jay had sent me a sketch that another artist had did of you know, what the concept for the character was, and I was like, how are we going to do this? So I was like, I'm just going to find somebody who looks like this so I can just then take photo references of the person. So I had to go and approach her and ask her, like, hey, I know you don't really know me that well, but could you come to my house and put on these, fake coveralls and fight underwater, bacteria and beasts? And she was really, she was actually pretty cool with it. So I thought that was really, it was an interesting thing just because I come from, an illustration background where I mostly do like TV commercials and like storyboards for stuff like that. So for me, it was a lot of fun to just get to hand, I try to hand draw it as much as I can. And it's fun working with actual models. And generally, I use models that, for some of the other characters, I use models that I use for like, print ads and stuff like that. And they're always blown away because they're like, all right, so when does he get glamorous? I was like, it never does. You just wear coveralls and there's no like love or, sex or anything like that. So they actually usually like it better because, then they don't know, I was like, you're just going to be covered up and you don't have to worry about anything like that. So it's
Oh, I love
definitely.
the root balls. The root balls are killer.
Oh, yes.
The eight balls?
No, the root balls. You
Oh,
know, all these twisted things, because that's all, in the sewers, especially you're in your older cities, that root intrusion can be a real, bane of your
Oh,
existence.
absolutely. Absolutely.
I
And there
love it
was a
that you
lot of
made them
stuff
look like
at,
people. So that is what we need.
And at the wet con, we got to learn a lot of words like, trench free excavation and stuff that, so we could use that in our thing. 'Cause I was like, ooh, that's a cool word or something. And then I looked at the little robots that they send in. I was like, well, we could easily add those in to, the story or the universe that we're trying to build. I think, I honestly think that the more reality you can put even into fiction, it makes for a more well-rounded kind of a story, and it makes, I think, more interesting universe to, write and create within the, comic book.
I just think that this is such a novel approach to educating the world, not just young people, just educating the world about what our industry does every day. So hats off to you guys of wanting to do this or finding it fascinating. And so, I love it, Jay, because most people will say this, that if they didn't know anything about it, when they go on a tour or they go out with a sewer service crew and see CCTV inspection or flushing or whatnot, and not being aware of what takes place, they usually walk away saying, wow, Suzanne, that was really fascinating. It's like, yeah, wasn't it though? It's like, I had no idea everything that went into this. Because, for those of us who are a certain age and grew up on the honeymooners and, thinking of the dumb sewer worker in Art Carney, like, hey, Norton, that kind of thing. What it's We should not look at these folks that way, because many of them, especially folks that are doing things in collection systems, they have to be mechanically adept. They have to be computer adept. They have to understand flow hydraulics and some engineering concepts. They have to be spatially adept. There is so much that they need to be aware of skill-wise that they're not just like a grunt worker on the side of the road with a shovel, setting up cones. This is a highly, highly technical field. And it's so important that the public recognize what these people do every day. And this is no joking matter, because without them, we wouldn't be able to enjoy the life that we do here in this country.
At all. And I mean, what I liked about being at the wet show, we got to meet a lot of these essential workers, and they got to, I think, when they saw us at first there was surprise, but then I think they really enjoyed seeing themselves in comics, seeing themselves as entertainment and education, because I think that a lot of, like, so many people are just, flush and forget. So I think
There you
that
go.
to really put a spotlight.
And we're so spoiled in this country too, you know, like when I was in Thailand, I was there for the whole time. And then the last day I was at like some outdoor market and I was like, man, I'm so thirsty, but I'm tired of spending all this money on bottled water. I'll just drink out of this drinking fountain. And for the rest of that trip, it was like I was in a movie called Outbreak 2. I mean, I was like, wow. But, you know, I was like, what, you know, what's the worst that could happen? And then I was like, oh my God. Longest plane ride of my life. But I mean, it's just goes to show that we don't think about that here, you know, like we're like, oh yeah, you know, I mean, and I mean, as what, as you should, but I mean, I think that it's something that people just take for granted. But you know, if you're, if somebody ever like shuts the water off to your house, you're suddenly aware of how much you use water. You know, you're like, wow, I use a lot of water.
Absolutely.
Yes. Do you have any of the copies of the comic books in front of you that you could just hold it up for a moment so people could actually see a physical copy?
I do.
Okay. So they're standard size, you know, comic book.
Yeah.
And so one of the interesting things about this, because we talked about this at the show, is that if you were interested as a company or, you know, a municipal authority, that you could utilize this in such a way as a giveaway, as, you know, as a thank you gift or as a souvenir for kids on a tour or career day or getting into school libraries, but that the company Mess Comics is actually able to custom imprint these with your logo or your information or leave a spot on the back that you could put your own sticker on that would say, hey, this comic book is courtesy of. But the beauty of this I saw was that you could start with one issue that's given out, but you know how things are. If people like them, they're going to get hooked in. And so tell us about the series. How many are in the series right now? And they go on different adventures. And I remember, Jay, before, you know, we had you on the show, you said that one of the series is actually taking place in the treatment plant. And then we started talking, Dylan, you were like, ooh, because you, like you said, you learned about trenchless technology that, hey, maybe we might want to go down the path. Maybe we should do a series on trenchless technology. Why not? Sky's the limit.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would say that we just released the chapter of season four, or we call them seasons, but really it's volume. So volume four, chapter one, Dylan just finished it. And it's a really good revisiting of, we have what's called a fungus forest, deep in the sewers. So a kind of fungus forest, alley croc, alligator graveyard kind of thing. So we get to revisit that. And, Dylan's artwork has just evolved. I've been very lucky to have been working with Dylan the last 7 years, on the series. He's been our regular main illustrator, for all four volumes. There are other artists we work with. There's Clint Bassinger, and Clint does a story about Lilliput has a partner in slime, a pet rat named Akka.
Okay.
And Akka gets her own two-parter with Clint. He did that. And then we also have our first spinoff from the Mess world called The Intrusion. And The Intrusion are adolescent cockroaches looking for sweet graffiti spots. And they are Sunday cartoon strip style stories. So they're like one and done pages, and they're just a little bit humorous. While sewer workers have to day in, day out, keep the flow, work really hard season to season, the Intrusion are cockroaches, and their food is literally just flowing right by. So they're a little bit more of the lazier folks. So it's a different perspective, but it's still a lot of fun.
Well, I just find this fascinating. And for those of you who might be interested in maybe utilizing these comic books or just for your own enjoyment to just buy a few to have them on your shelf to read because you're a graphic novel enthusiast or want to give them to your kids, how can they get these comic books and talk to you about maybe ways of using them for educational programs?
Well, we're going to be at the WET show next year, Indianapolis, so you can definitely find us there. But in the meantime, you can go to our website, MESSED, messedcomics.com. And we have the first two seasons digitally for free, so you can check that
Wow.
out.
Yeah.
And
Fantastic.
then you can order more comics.
All
All
right.
right.
It's funny. Yeah, we've been doing it long enough that now when I look at the first ones, I'm like, oh, it looks like Beetle, like a, you know, like a Bazooka Joe comic book to me compared to like where we are now. But I mean, at least I feel like I'm getting better.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I just deteriorated over the years, and it's just like it's pretty
And I mean,
funny.
and I think Dylan, you've done really well with the whole the use of just black and white. I think black and white really works well in the tunnels.
And
And
it was also easier to just get printed, you know, and not
a
have
little
to think
cheaper.
about the color. You know, I think that I saw a thing where they said that black and white was a director's best friend, and I was like, all right, we're just gonna start out stark right away, you know.
And
So
there's
I
some
think that's the way to
successful, aren't there some successful comic books that were originally printed in black and white? There were a couple,
go. Ninja
right?
Turtles, Ninja
Ninja
Turtles,
Turtles,
maybe.
Walking Dead, Walking Dead,
Sin City, my favorite one. I was like,
Sin
that's all
City,
black and white.
come on.
So yeah. So that, yeah, I definitely think, and it's funny, I even got my daughter to be in the comic book, but she was fussing a little bit, so I had to kill her off.
Oh,
My
well,
mom was horrified. I was like, she didn't want to do it.
these things happen.
I was like, that was funny though, because she was like looking at it. She's like, they kill me. I was like, remember? She's like, I was a little kid, don't ask me. I was like, why are you asking me? I thought that was pretty funny. But I think we should definitely, you know, I think I would like to, for me, I would like it to be more based on real things and educational anyway, because I just think it makes it a better thing, you know, that because, you know, usually when you hear the stories, I'm like, oh God, I wouldn't even have thought of that, you know. So I always like to hear the real like grit, you know, from the stories, and you know, that so it's more fun for me to draw too.
Also, like, we really try and focus on if you're alone in the sewers or you just down there with a partner. I mean, there's not a lot of talking. I would hope that when you see it, there's not a lot of dialogue. I really wanted Dylan's artwork to tell the story, which it does. He does a good job at that. And
Oh
also,
yeah, he
like,
does.
I know, but the last thing I want is Lilliput to do a soliloquy monologue in the middle of the sewers.
Some exposition.
Yeah, a
Yeah.
little bit of what is happening?
Yeah,
So
that'd be a lot of fun.
but I have all this great research and it's just kind of explaining things. So we do we have what's called the Fat Muckett Files at the end of every story. And the Fat Muckett Files, it's Lilliput's manager, and she kind of gives her own spin on it as an administrator and just like what happened in the adventures and that kind of stuff. And the other thing that where all these names come from. So their main character is Lilliput, the manager is Fat Muckett, another coworker is Sandshell. A lot of great names. It comes from I was working for the Sisseim Museum Center and I was at their preserve at the Hewlett Center. And I saw this big wall, display wall, and I was like, what is this? And it was a wall of freshwater mussels, filter feeders. And they had these incredible names. So that's where all the names come from. Lilliput, Sandshell, Fat Muckett, Three Ridge. I mean, there's just such a lot of great, there's so many great names. Dylan talked me into with season three, just kind of a battle royale with all the filter workers and treatment workers in there, not fighting each other, but fighting the filaments. And
That's
so
good.
we got to name them all. We got to name
That
them
was
all.
crazy. And
Is
when remember when Jay said, you gotta I got a girl who's gonna play Fat Muckett, I was like, I need you to tell her that the name of the character is Fat Muckett. I was like, that's not gonna be on me. I was like, no
Oh.
one's gonna be thrilled to play that. I was like,
Well, I mean, have you ever seen Suicide Squad, the movie? There is a iconic character named Amanda Waller. She's kind of the one in charge. And admittedly, I patterned my Fat Muckett off of after Amanda Waller. And our character model is fantastic, who does that role.
She was great.
Yeah.
Well, this is just sounds like so much fun. And, I just encourage everybody, go check it out. because what I saw at the show was just, it was fun. It was inventive. It was interesting. It just got my wheels turning about, wow, this is just a really cool thing, because we aren't, like I said earlier in the show, the folks in this industry just aren't glorified enough, and they really should be, and they should be appreciated. And so you've made them, in a way, superheroes that everybody can understand. And if you're in the field, you see yourself, you identify, it makes you feel good about what you're doing. And so, thank you guys for coming up with this incredible novel concept, and not just stopping at, one issue, but just really taking it as far as you have taken it. And I look forward to hearing more about the other series. And please, folks, check it out at Mess Comics. Get an issue. Jay and Dylan will be more than happy to talk to you about ways that you can use it for education or marketing, or just for your own enjoyment. And I want to thank you for being on the show and doing what you do.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Until next time, keep it flowing. Thanks so much for joining me, the Doo-Doo Diva, on this week's episode of Smells Like Money. What stood out to you this week? Share your takeaways by leaving me a review. You can find out more about the new technologies, creating sustainable solutions, and insights on how to succeed in our vital industry by subscribing to the show. Whether you want to learn about the latest trends in wastewater infrastructure, treatment, or trenchless, you've got it all right here at Smells Like Money. If you're an industry expert and would like to be considered as a guest for the show, book a quick chat with me by visiting calendly.com/thetuitgroup/B-A-podcast-guest, or simply click the link in the show notes below. Until next week, a big shout out to all my industry friends and those who will be. You are my superheroes. Thanks for tuning in, keeping it flowing, and we'll see you all next week.